Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and this is episode 4 of our series about living missionally. And I am here with Dr. Vanderpool, and we are going to be talking about something a little bit different today. And I am super excited. So, Dad, do you want to tell me what we're talking about today?
Yes, I sure will. Thank you for having me today. You know, we're continuing our series on living missionally, and it's getting the idea in our mind and in our hearts how we can have every day be a missional type day. And we sort of understand this as long-term missionaries where we're in a foreign land and we're living missionally. But what do we do when we get home? What do we do when we're back in the States and we want to continue living in that way that impacts the kingdom of God? And so we've talked about three different ways that we can prepare ourselves for living missionally. And we're going to continue along that same thread today. We're talking today about spending time with God, really being able to hear the voice of God, being able to take really marching orders from God so that you know that day what it is that you need to do.
That sounds so good. Okay, let's go ahead and just jump right into it. How do we spend time with God?
Well, you know, I'd like to look at a text today that I just love, and it's Exodus 33:7 through 11. And it's so cool because this is Moses. He's just received the Ten Commandments, been through all that, and now he is really wanting to seek the Lord's face. And let me just read this real quickly because I think it's really has a lot of merit to it. It says, "Now Moses took a tent and he set it up outside the camp, far away from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. Anyone who wanted to consult the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand up, each one at the door of his tent, and they would watch Moses until he entered the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance to the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. As all the people saw the pillar of cloud remaining at the entrance to the tent, they would stand up, then bow and worship, each one at the door of his own tent. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his assistant, the young man Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent." Isn't that a wonderful passage? It's just absolutely amazing to me that here is Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, wandering through the desert for 40 years where they've sinned. He's just received the Ten Commandments with all that accompanied that. And now he's setting up a tent outside the camp, far away from the camp, it says, so that he can spend time with God. So a couple of things I'd like to take from this passage is that Moses set up a tent outside the camp. Now, if you can just sort of imagine this camp, some people think that there may have been 15 million Israelites that were wandering through the desert. And so this is a large encampment that was organized. They had all their tents set up by the tribe that they were. They had the tabernacle there. But you know, it had to have been a chaotic place. Mm-hmm. It had to have been loud. It had to have been very noisy. And here Moses, as their leader, you know, they were trying to talk to him about all of their concerns. Moses probably had no way to get off by himself except for this. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that I wanted to talk about when we are discussing what it means to live missionally, when we're thinking about how we can prepare ourselves for a life of mission work, the first thing is we've got to spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We have to spend focused time where it's quiet. We're not getting interrupted with the Lord, where we can listen to him and we can live our voice. We can hear his voice. You know, the enemy of quality time with God is our never-ending busyness of our lives. We are just completely covered up with our jobs. Maybe it's our education, it's sports, our friends, our family. We spend lots of time pursuing those things. We spend lots of time pursuing our jobs, improving our jobs, going through college, going through our education, lots of time on sports and friends, but we don't really plan much time to spend with the Lord. And this is one of the things that I think really gets in the way of living missionally. So today, that's what I want to talk about, is how we can reorder our life so that we are prioritizing our time with the Lord. You know, we understand that marriages and friendships take a lot of time. They take a lot of work. It's just impressive how much time it takes to just develop a new friend. It's the same with God. We've got to understand that developing relationship with the Lord takes a lot of focused time. And you know, Moses apparently understood this because he went to the trouble to set up a tent, set up a meeting place way outside the camp. And he would leave the camp. He would walk all the way. We don't know how far it was, but it says it was a long way. He would walk a long way just to be alone with God. And I think that this is one thing that we really need to think about, is that drive, that motivation. How do we develop that motivation to want to spend time with God, to go out of our ways, to prioritize, to reorient and reschedule our days so that we can be alone with God?
That is really good. So clearly we have the example of Moses and how he would daily seek the presence of the Lord. How is that something that we can do in our day-to-day life?
Well, that's a great question. You know, because for us to live missionally, we've got to have a thriving relationship with the Father, because He will instruct us and He will nourish us. He will give us strength. He'll give us wisdom so that every single day we are ministering both to Him and then also living missionally to those around us. So a couple of things that I'd like to suggest. You know, I think we need to identify a place that's far away from the noise, the interruptions, all the people that sort of revolve in our daily lives. We've got to identify a place that we know we can go to, that we can focus only on God. That means no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram, no phones. We're just 100% focusing all of our energies, all of our hearts on the Lord. So, and this may be a bit of a challenge for some people, but I think that we need to, just like Moses set up this tent that was a long way away that he could go to, that nobody would bother him, right? That he could go out there and just focus on the Lord. I think this is something that we've got to identify. I know in my life, this is a habit that I've had since I was in high school. In fact, I really enjoy getting up early in the mornings and seeking the Lord. Nobody else is up, so it's nice. It's quiet. You know, there's not people that are trying to distract me and need something. And where we live in Haiti, of course, the needs are just overflowing. And so anytime I'm seen in Haiti, there'll be 15 or 20 people coming up wanting something. So getting up early before it's light so I can seek the Lord, because I will not be able to fulfill the needs of the people until my cup is full and the Lord fills our cup, you know, so well. And so I really prefer to get up early in the morning, before people are up, before the sun is up, and just focus on the Lord. Have a place that I can go that I know that that I can just focus on Him. I like the morning times because it orients me for my day. And so many times, you know, I'll receive something from the Lord that will help me with a situation that he obviously knows is going to happen that day, but that I don't. And so those are the kind of things that he can prepare us with, especially if our hearts and our minds are open to that. You know, the other thing that I think is so profound, you know, during these times of alone time with the Lord, he more often than not teaches me something about himself. And this is a passage that I love. It's just an amazing passage. It's right after this particular passage that we're talking about. And I don't want to go into depth because we're going to talk about it next time. This thought in Exodus 33:13 that the Lord, that Moses asked the Lord to teach him his ways, to teach Moses the ways of the Lord. What an amazing prayer. And the Lord answered that for Moses. And I think he wants to answer that for all of us as well, that he wants us to know his ways. And he wants us to conform to his ways and be a part of his ways. And so that's one thing that I think is just amazing. You know, something else that Moses did is he recognized the voice of the Lord. It said the Lord spoke to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Can you imagine that? Mm. You know, when your friend calls you on the telephone, he doesn't have to say, "Hi there, remember me, I'm your friend," blah, 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 right? He didn't have to say that because you recognize his voice. And I think recognizing the voice of the Lord is so important for us in our maturation as a Christian. And it absolutely is essential for learning to live a missional type lifestyle. One passage that I really like about this, that talks about this, is 1 Kings 19:11. And this is where Elijah has gone to seek the Lord. He's up on a high mountain. He has sacrificed. He's climbed this high mountain. And the Lord wants to show him his glory. And so the Lord has an earthquake happen. And Elijah said, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was this tremendous wind that blew by. And Elijah said, yeah, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then Elijah heard this still small voice, and that was the Lord speaking. Mm-hmm. Elijah recognized it as the Lord. So now the Lord can talk however he wants to, right? He can do whatever he wants. But in this case, certainly he spoke to Elijah with this still small voice. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I think we may have a misconception about what the voice of the Lord sounds like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people hear their own voice and they think it's the voice of the Lord, you know? Well, it might be, but probably not. it's a whole different voice. And so learning to recognize the voice of the Lord, especially when it's very still, it's very quiet, you have to be in a very quiet place for that. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I like to seek the Lord as I'm driving to work. And I'm thinking, really? You're in traffic? I mean, you're trying to survive out there and you're able to have the quiet and the focus to hear a still small voice. It just doesn't seem the same as what we're talking about here, where Moses went into a tent and just focused on that. So I think this has to be a place that is planned, a place that is quiet. It's not a place where you're doing something else. You know, you're not working at your job. You know, you're not fixing breakfast. You're not driving to work in your car. You have set aside a holy time that you just don't let anything get in the way of. You just absolutely guard that time because that's your time with the Lord. And I think that's where we'll start to really hear from the Lord. You know, one of the things that I think is very important is once you start hearing from the Lord on a regular basis, do what Moses did. Did you notice in that passage? Joshua was in the tent too. Mm-hmm. He was mentoring Joshua, so that Joshua could hear the Lord as well. Can't you just see that the older Moses, the leader, talking to the next leader, Joshua, of the Israelites, and saying, now listen, this is really important. You've got to get this, right? He mentored Joshua so that he could hear the Lord's voice. And I think that's something that's very important for us as well. We can't just keep these things to ourselves. We need to mentor others and let them know that the Lord does speak. He speaks today, and he's wanting to speak to us. He's wanting to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He's wanting to show us his ways.
Mm, that's beautiful. So, you know, clearly for a majority of your life, you know, you were living in the States, but then there was this massive 180 that you had by selling everything and moving to Haiti. And so what was that process like when you were going into the presence of the Lord and seeking him in your quiet times? And what were the things that you were hearing that really affirmed you in moving to Haiti?
That's a great question. Of course, I always laugh and tell people, I thought they said we're going to Tahiti, but that was different. You know, one of the things that that we did is we sought the Lord together. So Mom, Laurie, my wife, we would seek the Lord together on this. And we said, Lord, we want to do whatever you want us to do. We are willing to sacrifice. We're willing to give our stuff away. We're willing to die for the kingdom. And so we want to know what you want us to do. And we would get down on our knees and we would spend time just listening, not saying a word, just listening. And, you know, it's interesting in our married life, we've done that for years. And very typically, the Lord speaks to both of us and there's confirmation because we both hear the same thing. And what a wonderful thing. He didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But what a wonderful thing for have two completely different individuals hear the same thing and know that that's what the Lord has in store. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, it's generally, in my experience, not what I want to do. Right? It's not the thing that I think, oh, wow, yeah, maybe we can be missionaries to Tahiti, right? Oh, well, okay. You said Haiti. That's right. Okay, so we're going to Haiti. Generally, it's not. It's not the thing that's going to be more comfortable. It's not the thing that is going to be easier. Typically, it's really, really, really going to be difficult. But when you say to the Lord, you're willing to go anywhere, you're willing to die for the kingdom, that's, I think, so much what he wants to hear. And so when we were praying, we really wanted to go to Africa. We really thought that we had worked in Africa for many years. We really thought Mozambique or Ghana would be a place that we could go. But we very clearly heard, I want you to go to Haiti. And so we did. We absolutely honored that. We prayed about where to live in Haiti. He also showed us that. We prayed for the very specific parcel of land that he wanted us to have in Haiti. He showed us that. So the Lord is always faithful, always faithful. But that still small voice is really hard to hear, especially if you're not listening, especially if you've got the noise of the world turned up to 10, right? It's very hard to hear. We have to get ourselves away from the crowd. We've got to get ourselves away from the bustle of the city, and we got to listen to the Lord very carefully.
That's so good. So what are some practical things that we can do to help us when we spend time with God?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I think there are many things, but the things that really sort of impacted me were six different things. Number one, just from a practical standpoint, is have a place already prepared in advance for you to go to. Moses went out and set the tent up. One day he decided, I'm going to go set a tent up. I got to get out of here. I came to the Lord. It's just too much raucous going on, right? And so he went out and set up his tent. Now, I don't know if this was a pup tent or if this was some, you know, great big tent. Doesn't say. But he made a plan. I want to hear from the Lord. It's too noisy. I've got to get out. This is where I'm going. And so set a place up for yourself somewhere. Maybe it's your den, you know, but don't have it where you've got to prepare it on the time that you're there to spend time with the Lord, because you'll be wasting time getting it ready for yourself. Have it to where you can go in, plop down, and really hear from the Lord. And that's the only thing you're doing there. There's not checking the news. There's not checking emails. You're just there to seek the Lord. You have a singular purpose, and that's it. You know, the second thing that I think is important is to absolutely minimize distractions. No cell phones, no Twitter, no Instagram, nothing that's going to impede the process of listening to the Lord. And so have it absolutely in a place where you're not going to be thinking about other things. You're not thinking about work, not thinking about something other than just focusing on the Lord. And number three, be very quiet. You know, I think it's helpful to prepare yourself, you know, to go through a time of praise to the Lord, a time of thanksgiving to the Lord, thanking him for all he's done, praising him for all, who he is, and then being quiet. I mean, that's it. You're not there to supplicate. You're not there to ask, I need this, I need this. I need, that's not what you're there for. You're there to listen to him. So get yourself in the right place by praising him, you know, humbling yourself, thanking him for what he's done, and then be quiet. Absolutely quiet, you know, and listen. Number four is listen. Listen so carefully. Now, the hard thing is you're going to be thinking about something else. You're going to catch yourself thinking about, you know, whoever your sports team is or whatever's going on at work. And it just takes discipline to push those thoughts out. It's not, you have to feel guilty about it. Everybody does it, but you can discipline yourself not to to be thinking about those things. The fifth thing is really important, and this is such an interesting thing. And many, many people who I know hear from the Lord say this same thing, so I don't think it's just me. I can forget what the Lord said faster than anything. It's almost like a dream. It's really amazing, you know, where you wake up from a dream, you think it was so deep and so important, and there was so much action, and I don't remember one thing about it. Write down what you hear. You know, have a journal, have something that's not there to write your own thoughts. That's not what it's there for, to write down what the Lord says. Laurie does this so well. She's got a journal that she will go through periodically, and it's decades of the Lord speaking to her, and she wrote it down. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing thing. Not only do you remember what he said, but then you get to go back and look at what he said and see the fulfillment of it, because it may have been 10 years ago or something, you know, and you look at that and you go, oh my goodness, that's exactly the way it worked, you know? And so it's a great faith building thing as well. So write what you hear, not only to remember it, but to build your faith. The last one, number six, is be absolutely persistent in your pursuit of the Lord. Absolutely persistent. You know, he says, if you knock, I will open, right? And so we've got to just knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. You think about how much time you spent getting your degree, right? If you went to college, how much time you spent getting a degree? Thousands of hours, you know, you spent getting this degree. Well, we need to be about 1,000 times more persistent in seeking the Lord than we do in getting our college degree, for instance. So don't give up, be persistent, listen to the Lord, hear what he says. When he says something, you got to do it, right? I mean, that's not part of the deal. It's not just for listening's sake. it's for action. And so, of course, in our case, he's led us to many countries. He's led us to Ghana, to Mozambique, to Honduras, led us to Haiti, where we've been for the last 7 years. And we think that he's leading us on to some other countries too. So we're very excited about that. And so it's the way that you can build your strength. You can be a part of the kingdom, be an integral part of the kingdom, and be very focused on what you're doing, because the Lord is saying, this is what I want. This is what I want from you. These are my ways. This is the way I do things. And this is what I want you to do. Absolutely fantastic.
I really love those six steps. So thank you. I've mentioned this before. I kind of like clear cut, practical, good little steps to follow. So I'm excited to get to integrate this into my daily life. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What a wonderful message for today of spending time with God, especially, with coronavirus and everything that's going on. We're home, but life can be so distracting because now everything's going on in your home. So finding that way to separate yourself from all those distractions and really press into the presence of God. So that's wonderful. So thank you.
And remember, there is no social distancing with God.
That's good. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm excited to continue this series, this Living Missional series. So if you haven't caught the other ones, we have three episodes before this that are going over practical ways to live missionally. And I'm excited to see where this is going to continue going. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Okay. So we got to talk about it. You got a book.
Got a book.
It's really good.
It's a great book. It's called Live Beyond, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve. It's available on Amazon, and it's fantastic. It just talks a little bit about the way the Lord got us from point A to point B. And so how we lived before and how we are now long-term missionaries and have every intention of being that way for a lot longer.
Well, it really is a good book, and it's encouraging and challenging and convicting, and I just highly recommend reading it. Clearly, I'm a little bit biased, but it really is a great book. So definitely go check that out on Amazon. You can also go to the website, livebeyond.org, and it can kind of direct you to how to get the book and purchase it online. Also online at our website, we have a bunch of stuff that's talking about what we're doing in Haiti right now and the exciting things that the Lord is doing and just the ways that we're getting to partner alongside of Him. So if you are interested in learning more about Live Beyond or maybe even donating, go online to livebeyond.org. But that is it for this week. So go out and live beyond.